Welcome back to Seeing Your Inner Brilliance, the podcast that empowers big dreamers and high achievers to embrace their ambitious goals while navigating the very real inner challenges that come with them. I'm your host, self-worth and confidence coach, Chelsea Childers. And on today's episode, we are diving into one of personal transformation. And I have some exciting news for you. But before we get there, question. Have you ever found yourself longing to break free from the constraints of a traditional career and follow your heart's true calling? Do you ever wonder what it takes to make your dreams feel effortless, to truly give yourself permission to chase after them, and to understand that your mission is not a separate entity from your life, but an integral part of it? If these questions resonate with you, then you are in the right place. Let me tell you, in today's episode, we're exploring some profound insights into the journey of what it's like of stepping out, following your heart, crafting a career with something that you're passionate about. We're discussing inner challenges, self-doubt, and the process of breaking free from self-sabotage. We're also touching on cultivating a deeper connection with your purpose and the power of choosing to feel better about yourself and your life. Yes and amen. In this episode, I'm joined by my friend Constantine, who is a senior account technology strategist with Microsoft. He's a certified project manager and change management professional. He specializes in organizational change management, and that's not all. This is where his calling gets into place because he is a holistic life empowerment mentor and coach. He's also the host of the Unleash Thyself podcast. He's doing amazing things in the personal development space. And guess what? It's all coming from his journey and what he's experiencing of what it's like to work in Microsoft, to have a 9-to-5, if you will, to work 40 hours a week and be a husband and do his life while also knowing and believing that he is being called to more. So I'm so excited to bring to you today our beautiful conversation. If you have been wondering what it's like to follow your heart, to fully give yourself permission, to be able to trust yourself and trust the process, then grab your AirPods and tune in to this amazing conversation. Constantine, thank you so much for being on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. Immediately when we connected for the first time, it was easy and effortless. And those connections are the best. I absolutely love what you're doing, which of course we're going to get into that. I love your just laid back and understanding personality. You are just so genuine. And so I'm so grateful to be able to now call you friend. So thank you for being on the show.
Wow, Chelsea, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you so much. And you're right, the connection at the beginning, wow, those are the connection people look for, right? Having met someone that it feels like you've been friends for a very long time, right? Yeah, I'm thrilled to be here. I can't wait to dive deeper with you on whatever topics we feel are right in the moment.
Oh, all right. So one thing in particular, why I am so excited to talk to you in particular is because I do have the pleasure of not only coaching, but interviewing, you know, big dreamers and high achievers. And a lot of them have already gotten there. They have written the book and maybe they're on their next project. They have achieved the 6 or 7 figures and now they're on to the next version of that, whatever it is. And you, yes, you are super successful in Microsoft. You also just took a big leap by starting your own podcast called Unleash Thyself, which amazing work that you're doing right there. And so I know that so many listeners right now can resonate with the starting off point and the shift from one, maybe it's corporate, maybe it's teaching, maybe it's real estate, maybe it's something accounting, something more traditional, and then going into following their own heart. So I am super duper excited to focus on that today and be able to talk to you from your perspective.
Absolutely. Would love to. Yes. And thank you for introducing all that. I have a sign here right above me that says, follow your heart. And it's funny, I found that on Valentine's at like the dollar store in my neighborhood. And I'm like, I gotta have that because that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today. I finally realized that I turned 40 this year, that I need to be doing as many things as possible that bring joy to my heart and bring happiness. And that means following my heart. That also doesn't necessarily mean that whatever you've been doing before, like in my case, I work in the corporate world with Microsoft, has to go out the window. Because of a lot of us have invested a lot of time and energy in developing our careers, but also a lot of us need those careers in order to still be able to put food on the table while we pursue whatever dreams we may end up having. In my case, it's a bit of both. I love my career at Microsoft and what I do in my professional world, but by pursuing my passion, what brings me joy, which is working with people, inspiring people, empowering people on this beautiful life journey, I can be an even better version of myself at work, and I can actually find purpose and meaning in that work because I work with people all the time anyway, right? Most of us work with people. So we can always bring it back to what's your purpose, what's your mission as you understand it, and how can you tie that into everything you do in life? And that's one of my goals in my life, and what I pursue is how do I find a match between all of them? Because let's be honest, most people won't get to do only the things they truly enjoy. And that's because we live in a society, we live in a culture that we still want to be part of. And that means that we have to do certain things that maybe deep down we don't agree 100% with, but it doesn't mean we can bring our authentic and vulnerable self to them.
Oh, come on, Constantine. Preach it. You just completely dropped the mic on that. Oh my gosh, I absolutely love what you said that your career, whatever you're doing, the logical side of things, the maybe you went to school for it, the things you have to do, not discounting or discrediting that because it is so important. You have built your career in your case, and there doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. It doesn't mean that one is on a pedestal and one is in the basement. It doesn't mean that at all. It just means that your heart is naturally drawn more to one thing over the other, while the other is probably the one bringing in the paycheck and allowing you to do the thing that's on your heart.
Exactly. And of course, this is at this point in time what the future brings. Allow yourself to be flexible. And that's what I'm doing. And if I realize that, hey, what I do with the podcast, what I do with the public speaking I do, or the podcast guesting I do as well, maybe that's something I want to do full time. Maybe I want to write a book or two. Maybe I want to do other things. And allowing yourself to be flexible and not have a very rigid target has been transformational for me because in the past, I come from like a project management background, someone that wants to control everything. I used to box all my targets and my goals. And if I didn't have a box around it, I would make sure I would put one. And what that means to me is that my target is up here, and then I have my blinders on, and I actually miss opportunities and I miss chances to meet people, to experience new things, or to allow my target to move slightly for better things because I'm so focused on one area. And that's why one of the big changes I wanted to make in my life, to allow more flexibility, allow more trust, the things will be okay and I will reach my destination.
So, for you, getting to this point of flexibility and openness and really fluidity and giving yourself permission, I see so many different things here. Getting to this point, was it something that you had to work through internally? Was there a part of you that felt like I need to be able to build up the podcast or earn enough money from the podcast in order to leave Microsoft? Or was there ever a time where you felt like you had to do all or nothing? Or was it just, okay, I want to start a podcast. I want to inspire and empower people. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, it was actually a bit of both. And for a long time before I did this, I did a lot of different things in my life, both on the corporate side, but also entrepreneurial adventures. And when I wanted to start something, when I truly believed in something, I didn't care how much effort or resources it took, even if I was working full time, or let's say didn't have enough money, or whatever the case might be, I would still be able to focus 100%. But to answer your other question, when it comes to deciding between, well, which one is full time, which one is not, how do you want to put effort into it? For me, it was an awareness thing, first of all. I wasn't necessarily aware what brought me joy and happiness, truly. I thought that chasing the American dream, which I achieved, right? Big house, fancy cars, right? You name it. That never brought me happiness. And it wasn't until later in life I realized, wait a second, money, resources, that's not really what brings you happiness. When I say me, right? Everyone is different. However, what brought me happiness was mentoring and helping people and coaching people and learning myself and then sharing what I've learned with others. Not from a point of, yeah, you've got to do what I've done to be successful, but more from a point of, hey, this is what I've done. These are the challenges I face. This is how I've overcome them. This is how others have overcome them that I've talked to and I've helped. Maybe it helps you as well. It's all about that inspiration and empowerment. And once I shifted my mindset around it, once I became aware of the things that bring me joy, everything became effortless. Like I'll tell you, in preparation to launch my podcast, I was working, quote unquote, working. I was spending 12 hours plus a day between my corporate job and the podcast, getting it ready, and the weekends as well. And it didn't feel like working. It didn't feel like a chore. It was honestly pleasure. It was like pleasurable. It was happiness, joy, right? I would get to have conversation with people like yourself. I would always feel inspired. I would learn so much. And in the last 6 months that I've been prepping all this and doing it, podcast has only been live for 1 month, but there was 5 months of prep. It hasn't felt overwhelming. And in the past, I would burn out fairly quick because I used to work 12 plus hours in my corporate job, right? Try to, again, climb the corporate ladder, push, push. But when you're not aligned with your heart, there's always a disconnect. And for me, there was a big one. And that's when the burnout comes in. That's when your dissatisfaction with life comes in. Miss of joy, miss of happiness.
What I really hear you saying in all of that is essentially what you pointed out in the beginning of following your heart,
yes.
But not just following your heart as far as what to do, like what you feel called to do, what lights you up inside, what brings you joy, that sort of thing, but also following your heart in the how. And I think that is something that is so powerful. And I know that so many listeners are going to get such value out of that from my journey and where I was also, we haven't talked about this, but I have a project manager background as well. So that's so funny. When I was 7 years into my project management career and I felt the call that there was something more. At the time, I didn't know what that was. Of course, it can shape and unravel in such beautiful and unique ways, and it varies person to person.
Yes.
For me, I felt the call for more, and it was this immediate, I can't work in my corporate job anymore. I am being called out of my corporate job today. This is it. I am done. And I'm not saying that I should not have done that or that was my path. Looking back on it, I can say that the more I ventured into my career, the each and every day that I showed up for my career after that point, it got harder and harder. And simultaneously, I can also say that I forced myself out of my corporate career. So it was, yes, maybe it was getting harder, but rather than sticking it out maybe another year or two, I completely forced myself in the how of this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm doing, which I think can be such a tendency for us to do. And that's why,
yes,
I'm bringing up this story. Whereas you, in your journey, you're so beautifully articulating that the following the heart and the fluidity and the ease and the flow doesn't just apply to the what, it also, which is probably more important, applies in the how. That's so good.
Yeah, and it's always starting with a why. And I love your story as well, because here we are, we're doing similar things, but yet very different. And we got here approaching it differently. So there is not one way that this will work for everyone. If, for example, let's say if I had $2 million in the bank, or $1 million, doesn't matter, a large sum of money in the bank, and I had financial stability, right? It doesn't matter if it's me or someone in the audience. Then, of course, you can take a year or two off from work and focus 100%, 110% into what your heart is telling you. But the reality that most of us don't have that large safety net where you can be like, hey, I'll put this on pause and I'll try it out for a year or two and see how it goes. And that part that I like a lot, because that means that, yeah, if you have the safety, go for it. If you don't, you can still do it. And I think that's the important message, that once you understand your why, once you understand at least part of your purpose, then go after it. You don't need permission from anyone. The only person you need permission from is yourself. And that was the part I struggled with a lot in the past. First of all, truly understanding my why and my purpose, and then giving myself permission to go after it.
Such a good point. Thank you so much for adding on there. Yes, absolutely. And I really feel like what we're talking about here is when it's forced and it feels harder than it needs to be, then it probably is. And if we can get to that place of following our heart, opening ourselves up, and giving ourselves permission to do, we don't have to make sense of it. A lot of times we don't know why things are on our heart. I mean, look at you. You work in Microsoft and you're a podcast host. That's literally a left side and a right side of the brain, or a right side and left side of the brain. And
Especially for the topics I cover in the podcast, because personal growth ties you to professional growth. That's awesome. When I bring in spirituality and self-discovery, that starts to become, ooh, how does one connect to the other? And the reality is, the way I see it, is that you can read all the books, you can do all the personal development you want, or professional development, but unless you do a self-discovery, so looking inwards and touch a bit on spirituality, which is the idea of something more out there, connecting to the nature, to the universe, in whatever way you do, religiously or not, you truly can't really become the best version of yourself. At least I haven't seen anyone that can just focus on one area, ignore the others, and become that best version of themselves. And you touched on something really important earlier that I wanted to bring back, is the idea that when you start following your heart, your corporate job became that much harder to show up for. Because of that misalignment, right? Your heart doesn't align with a corporate job. And I'll be honest, I've had days like that too, and I'm like, what am I doing in my corporate job? It's not aligning with my mission, with my value. But really, it wasn't about the job, it was about me and my perspective in my case. Because once I realized that my mission, or at least a big part of it, is to be in service of others while being in service of myself and to inspire and empower people on this journey, well, I can bring the same mentality to my professional career. And in Microsoft, I work in the sales team. I'm a technical consultant. I work with AI, with a lot of technologies, enabling people to do amazing things that they haven't done before. And then when I started looking at that deeper, I realized, wait a second. So I'm going to help someone be able to save maybe half an hour in their day that they can now spend with their kids in the morning. Or maybe they can take their dog for a longer walk. So all of a sudden, I'm shifting my mindset. I'm like, okay, so how can I take my mission and apply it to my work? And find that value that I bring in. Sure, Microsoft is a giant corporation. They make a lot of money, but you can still make an impact in whatever job you do. You just have to reframe it a bit to match whatever your mission and purpose in life is.
Yes, 1,000%, Constantine. And that is the evidence and the proof of what inner work and personal development work is. That wisdom that you just dropped, I did not have that at the time 7 years ago. So that's so amazing. You are so right. And I'm super curious for you, when you started this process of doing the minutia of starting the podcast. I know all about that. So when you started this process, were there any sort of inner struggles or key turning points or upper limits, any negative thoughts that were coming up for you that you encountered throughout this?
Oh, what a great question, Chelsea. What a great question. And yes, there have been so many.
Hey. Before we get into Constantine's inner struggles and where he gets really real and raw and vulnerable about what his journey and process has looked like, I have to ask you this question. Have you been listening to this and thinking to yourself, all of this sounds great with following your heart, trusting your purpose, leaning into your why, but how do I actually start doing that? How do I actually start living this way? How can I align with my purpose, trust the process, and feel fully connected to my dream? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I'm so excited to share with you that my latest coaching program, BTG, which stands for Be That Girl, Be That Guy, is designed to support you on this transformative journey. BTG is all about delivering on promises that can truly change your life. We focus on aligning with your purpose and discovering your true calling and aligning your path with it. We focus on trusting and embracing the process, developing an inner knowing and gaining the unwavering confidence that your calling and vision are inevitable. This program is also centered around feeling satisfied and fulfilled now, regardless of your current circumstances or results. It's not about waiting until you achieve the goal. It's not about waiting until the dream fully comes to fruition before feeling satisfied and fulfilled. It's about feeling that now and learning the psychology and the energetics behind it. It's about becoming fully connected to your dream and internally validating yourself so that external judgments and opinions don't sway you. And BTG, like I said, it is designed for big dreamers and high achievers just like you who are ready to take that leap of faith, who are willing to embrace their true calling, and who want to find purpose and fulfillment in every moment of their journey rather than waiting. I can't stress that enough. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't wait to feel satisfied. Feel satisfied now. Trust the process now. Feel fully connected to your dream now. I feel a song coming on. Oh my goodness. I believe that the wisdom shared in this podcast episode and this conversation with Constantine is literally just the beginning. He touches on so many valuable things, and BTG is just going to bring it home for you. It is literally the next step towards living a life that's truly aligned with your heart's desires. So if you're ready to turn your dreams into reality, if you're prepared to trust the process, and if you want to cultivate that deep connection with your purpose, I invite you to visit the link in the episode description so that you can learn more about BTG, because the wait list is almost over. And that means that doors are about to open at the time of this recording. They open on September 6th. So if you want to receive special VIP pricing and get dibs, so to speak, on getting into BTG, then definitely check out that link. And remember, your dreams are being called through you, and I am here to help you answer that call and fully embody the success that you know you are destined for. And that is not some cliche quote. That is true. I am living it. My clients are living it. It is proof. That is the essence. That is the beauty of the work. So check out the link in the episode description. And without further ado, let's get back to Constantine, because he really is about to open up his treasure chest, so to speak, on his inner struggles and the negative thoughts that have plagued him when he first started on this journey and even still plague him now. So sit a little bit closer, scoot in a little bit closer, and keep listening to this conversation.
Now, when the idea of the podcast came to me, it was August of 2022. And it was a time when I was going through about a 6-7 month depressive state. It was my first time being depressed. I didn't necessarily know at the beginning what it was, but I was always sad, never happy, never found joy in anything, despite many amazing things happening around me. And the idea of the podcast came to me, but the first few months were filled with doubt, lack of confidence, everything you can imagine around them, meaning who am I to bring something like this to life? Who am I? Or why would people listen to me? What type of wisdom would I have to share? And why would people want to be on my show? And all those self-doubts, self-sabotaging doubts that we allow to come in, they've come in. Now, it was January of this year when I said, okay, I'm going to put my boots on and I'm gonna get down to this. And I started reaching out to friends and family to run by them my idea. And because I'm a project manager like you were as well, I made myself a nice PowerPoint presentation. I put all my ideas down on paper. So I then started having one-on-one conversations with people. And all the feedback I was getting, it was really good. But that wasn't enough for my self-sabotaging to stop, because I still remember many nights at the beginning, at least, when I would have a beautiful conversation like you're not having right now, I would feel like $1 million. And then 3 hours later, that self-sabotaging talk would come back. It's like, who are you to do this? And then I would try to, my mind would focus on things to try to point out why I shouldn't be doing this. In my case, what I did to get out of that is try to flip the script. And instead of looking at why I can do it, I looked at why I should do it. And that allowed me to get past it. Now, 6 months later from when I started to really get serious about, so let's say a full year almost from when I had the idea, those thoughts, those limiting beliefs don't show up as much, but they still show up. So I have to be careful to cut them out before they get too big. So if I see a thought come up, I'm saying, no, I do not think that way. Or I do not accept those type of thoughts in my mind. And surprisingly, to me at least, it works. Because I cut them out, I shift my mentality and what I want to focus on, and that's it.
Once again, you are so wise. And I love how in one sentence you were talking about self-sabotage, which, by the way, I really do want to acknowledge you for your transparency and authenticity there, because I know that when those thoughts, as loud and debilitating as they can be, it can be hard to talk about them. It can be hard to face the music and admit that we deal with that. We deal with that. And so thank you so much for mentioning that. And what I was saying was, I love how you, almost in one sentence, you went from, I was thinking this self-sabotaging thought of who am I, or will people listen, that sort of thing. And then you went right to the reframing, which is so beautiful that you could, it seems seamlessly, that you could seamlessly do that. I know for me, when I was leaving my corporate career, the big dominant thought that really had me stuck was, I've never been good at anything. So why am I going to be good at anything else? Because I felt so primed for my corporate career. And that was my thought. And I was literally stuck. So how did you get to this point of thinking to yourself, who am I to do this? Who am I to start a podcast? Are people going to listen to me? Those types of thoughts. How did you get to that place of being able to reframe them?
Yeah, that's a great question. I resonate with what you said as well, right? Because we have many versions of those thoughts. And the way I understand them now, it goes back to our early childhood between the ages of 0 and 7, when you have a lot of those learned behaviors coming through. And it seems like a seamless process when we chat about it, but it wasn't seamless at all, right? There were high highs and low lows. But what pushed me through for me was that I put in the work, the months, I want to say, between August and December, to really hone in on what my purpose is and my mission and my why, and then that of the podcast. So every time those thoughts would come up, I may have a bad night, I might have a bad day, but I would always try to remind me of the mission, or remind myself of the mission, the purpose, and that would bring me back. Because again, it would remind me, you want to do this. You've been doing this, and then I'll find examples in my life because I mentor people at Microsoft, I mentor people outside of Microsoft. So I had examples. So what I would recommend to people that face similar situations is always ask yourself if the opposite is also true. If you're telling yourself you're not good at anything, find an example where you are good at something. And then all of a sudden that breaks the cycle right then and there. Yes, it's not going to be overnight, but you can keep reminding yourself that you find more proof of the things you're good at. And that's what I did. And I'll give you another example. Like, I'll have a conversation with you, very good conversation at night. I'll feel that, or those thoughts come in, but then I'll push myself to schedule another conversation or two the next day or the day after, so I can get back and not allow those thoughts to win. Because if you give them time, they will win. So the idea is to try to get ahead of it. At least that's how I approach it. And I know that there are many people talking about many different ways of doing it. Meditation is another one that I used a lot. Practice of gratefulness. That's something I started, I want to say, 7, 8 months ago. And that's played a huge factor because I could be less focused on the negative stuff and more on the positive. So there's many things that one can do. But it all starts with awareness. So become aware that you have those thoughts coming in and you don't want them. That's the second part of it. If that thought comes in, I'm not good enough. Do you want that thought? If you don't, then you can do something about it.
Oh, you were like the male version of me. So much of what you said. Oh my goodness, it is so good. And I'm so thankful you are able to utilize the tools like meditation and gratitude. And I am a firm believer in those tools, especially like with breath work and some of the others. The one thing that took me a long time to figure out, which is going back to what you're talking about, awareness. At the beginning of my journey, I just started doing those things. I started journaling. I started trying to be more grateful, making gratitude lists, 10 things I'm grateful for, those types of things, and doing them every day because that's what they tell us to do. You got to do it every day. And I was meditating and I really, yeah, it helped. But now I know that there has to be awareness, there has to be solidity. You have to, like you said, you have to be connected to who you are, what you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're doing it. And then the tools like meditation and journaling and gratitude and breath work and visualization and the plethora of others that Pinterest talks about all the time, then those can come from a place of overflow. And so, Constantine, what you just said about awareness, that yes, it's about awareness. It's about what do you want? Do you want to continue thinking that thought? Do you want to continue feeling that way? Or sometimes those thoughts are, we keep thinking them because they're familiar and that's safe. And that's okay too if
Yeah.
we want to stay in that familiarity.
Absolutely. You touched on such an important point here because if we reinforce things in our life, then they'll keep showing up because our subconscious wants to keep us safe, wants to keep us doing the same things we've been doing before. So if we're always repeating those same messages, that's what we're going to get. And it's not because our subconscious wants to harm us or wants anything bad for us, it's because that's what it knows. It wants to protect you. One of the things I also specialize in my professional work, so I did project management at the beginning of my career, switched into change management and specifically organizational change management. And what I've realized there, the formula for organizational change management is that it starts with awareness. There's five steps. Awareness, desire is the second step. Then you have the knowledge, so acquiring the knowledge. Then the ability builds up. And the last point is reinforcement. And you just touched on that. Because one of the things that I did a poor job at a lot of my life is that I would apply a change, I would go through the steps, I would make it as part of my life, but I would forget to reinforce. And reinforcing is celebrating. Reinforcing is reminding yourself how far you've come along, reminding yourself of what's important and why you're doing this. And you touched on the why. I would say that if you don't have a strong why, if you don't have a strong sense of what maybe your purpose is, your mission in life, you're going to struggle to overcome a lot of these things or even start to finish a project that's coming from the heart because you have a disconnection there. So I would say start with that why first. That's what took me a long time. Then the awareness piece, desire comes next. So let's say I'm aware of a change I want to make in my life. Do I want to make it or not? And it's fine if you don't want to make it, but at least you know that you have the choice. And then once you decide, okay, I want to make this change, then it's about getting the knowledge. And the funny thing is, for me, funny, is most of us have way too much knowledge anyway, at least on how to change ourselves, because most of the answers, if not all of them, are inside of us. And then is the part where like you apply the knowledge and you get to an ability stage. And then is the reinforcement. How do you continue to make sure that you don't fall off and you continue working on yourself? Like practicing gratitude in your case, right? You start at the beginning, you journal, you see it works. Well, how do you make sure that you don't just forget about it or take it for granted and just move on to something else?
So good, Constantine. So good. Thank you so much. That was such a beautiful breakdown because I think a lot of times when we hear, at least for me, when I hear, oh, just reframe it, it's like we're taking off a blue shirt and putting on a red shirt. We're just gonna flip, reframe it, right? But you said something, you tapped into something that is so powerful, and that's the heart, the heart. The reframing, the affirmations, the enforcement comes from the heart and not the
Yeah.
head. Not the head, which is what we started this whole conversation about following your heart, right? And so not only following
Exactly.
your heart, but also your answers and your clarity that you're looking for, that you may be looking for, are in your heart, are inside. Ah, this just went full circle. I love it.
Absolutely percent. And the one thing I would like to add there, it took me a while to realize this. Our brain and our egos and that part of us is acting based on outdated information and technology, I like to call it, because it's again acting on those learned behaviors from your early childhood and through your later childhood as well and everything you've picked up in life. But it's not acting based on what you know in this moment to be true. So it's up to you to make those changes. If, let's say, I have a computer that's running too slow. It's up to me if I want to change the software on it, right? Instead of maybe Windows 98, maybe I'll go to Windows, whatever, 2011, let's say, right? I'm just make a small upgrade. I don't have to go to the latest version. But that's the power stays within us. And for me, coming from an Eastern European background, where it was a lot of fixed mindset, it was very hard to wrap my head around the idea that I have a choice in everything I do. Sure, some choices don't lead to favorable outcomes, but I have a choice in everything I do, which then you take that and apply it to your own self-worth or your own anything, right? And you say, okay, I have a choice to feel better. I have a choice to be happy. So how do I make that happen? That's the next step.
I absolutely love that you mentioned that and that you went there because, yes, it can be hard to accept that we do have a choice, that our thoughts are a choice, our feelings are a choice. And it's not to say that if we are in a state where we are thinking those loud, debilitating thoughts, where we're wrestling with trying to figure out our purpose, and we're just in the season of maybe stuckness or uncertainty. That's not to say that, oh, you are choosing to stay there. Shame on you. No, absolutely no judgment. The choice isn't necessarily whether you're going to stay there or whether you're going to move. The choice is maybe what will you allow yourself to tell yourself? What thoughts will you allow to go on in that old
Yes.
90s boxy computer of yours? So it may not be a choice of you staying in a job that you don't like, knowing that you are being called to do something like something quote unquote greater. No, maybe the choice is probably just what will you allow yourself? How will you allow yourself to feel every single day? What will you allow yourself to think? Those sort of things.
Exactly. That's so beautifully said. Because a choice is anything. Like you say, start small. It doesn't have to be big. Of course, there's some big choices to make in life that may be harder, but think about it. To get to a big choice, there's a lot of smaller choices you have to make along the way. And it starts there.
So good. I am so loving this conversation. Oh my goodness. I know it is going to be so valuable and potent for the listeners. And I'm curious now that so you went through 5 months of prep for the podcast, you got everybody's opinion and feedback, and you managed your project as project managers do. You launched your project. What does Constantine's life look like now? What are you currently focusing on with this amazing and growing podcast?
That's such a great question as well. There's so many parts to it. I dedicate a big part of the day to working on myself. And as a mentor to others, I also have my own mentors and I work with people on a spiritual level, but also professional and personal level. So I want to make sure that as I put all this time in, I don't forget to work on myself because that's really what this is all about. Because I cannot help someone if I don't help myself first. I can love others if I don't love myself first. So that has to be reinforced. So there has to be a work in progress. And all the things that we talked about, there's still a work in progress for me. Because I don't imagine a scenario in which you can say you've learned everything you can and you stop, because then you stop growing. And there's always something more you can learn, maybe in a different direction. Now, I would say what I've done so far is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so many things I'm working on, so many things. There's not enough time in the day, from growing social media platforms to coming up with content that I want to put out so people can feel inspired, can feel empowered on this journey. But also for me, how can I learn more? Because in every conversation like you and I are having right now, I'm learning so much. And that's the beauty of this. I didn't expect when I started this journey, like how much I was getting for myself. And as a result, for those around me.
Oh, I absolutely love that you're focusing on yourself. You're in the process. You're physically doing the things of building your social media, getting better at your content, building the podcast and posting the episodes and all of that. But the most important thing, you. And I absolutely
Yes.
love how that you mentioned that because so often I know from my journey, as well as other clients that I've worked with, that so often we can misconstrue our dreams to be it to be the thing. I have to get to my dream. I have to launch the podcast. I have to write the book. I have to gain the clients. I have to whatever, start the app. So many different manifestations of our dreams, right? I have to get to the thing. I have to do the thing. I have to start the thing when really our dreams, they're about us. They are called through us. And if we cannot be completely open, if we cannot be our most aligned selves and anchored into who we are and who we were created to be, then we can't build the dream. We can't do the things in the most aligned way that it's meant to be. And so the fact that you're focusing on yourself is, of course, I'm going to say and suggest that is the most important thing, but it really is. It's not learning the sales strategy or learning the content strategy or the marketing strategy. All of those are great and they definitely serve a purpose, those hard skills to be learned as an entrepreneur and as a creator, as a founder, all of these things, right? At the end of our day, at the end of the day, our dreams are about us and they are being called through us. And if we are not completely open, if we are not in complete alignment, if we are not unstoppable internally, then our dreams cannot take off and manifest and move and mold into what they're meant to be.
Beautifully said. That's, yeah, I cannot add too much to that. You mentioned manifestation, right? I'm a firm believer in the fact that we co-create every experience we have. So me and my higher self, me and the universe, me and God, whatever people believe in. So if that's the case, that means that you have to do your part, which means you have to continue working on it and making sure that whatever you co-create or whatever you create is 100% aligned with what you believe at the moment. And I'll be honest, when I did the work and I found my why, find my purpose. So this is again back in the summer of last year. I was a bit fixed in that. I'm like, oh, the podcast is my purpose. That's it, nothing else. But then as I started continuing doing the work, I realized, wait a second, the podcast is just a part of it. The purpose actually, again, comes back to what you said to yourself. Like, what is it in your heart that you believe or you feel strongly that you are meant to do? And I would argue that most of us have a mission or a purpose that revolves around being in service to themselves and others, but that looks very differently from person to person. In my case, it might be with a podcast, public speaking, creating content. Someone might be through the work they do, right? The company they start, the business they start. So it's going to look very different, but at the core of it, I believe it's about walking each other home in a way and not helping yourself help others as well.
Man, this has been so good, Constantine. Absolutely so good. I don't have anything to add to that. That was such a beautiful way to wrap up our conversation. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for shining your light. Thank you for your transparency, your authenticity. I'm starting to feel an emotional wave. Thank you for following your heart because I know that because you have followed your heart, you are opening up so many avenues for others, and you are helping others just see themselves in ways that they probably have not seen themselves before. And that may not have been possible if you had not followed your heart. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you as well, Chelsea. This has been an immense pleasure and it's been a beautiful conversation. I agree with you. If you don't follow your heart, then you're also taking that away from people around you. Because when you become your true self, you become a better version of yourself, your world becomes better. And your world is essentially the people around you. So they won't help it but become a better version as well because you have given them not permission, but you've showed them the way in a way.
You're so right. Thank you, Constantine, for being you, for being you.
And thank you for joining us today on Seeing Your Inner Brilliance. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you found this episode inspiring. And I would love, if something stuck out to you from this episode, I would absolutely love to connect with you on DMs. I absolutely love getting the messages from you of like, oh my gosh, that really resonated with me. That spoke to me. I resonate with your work. I loved what you guys talked about in this episode. All of that. We are community. And be sure to check out the link to BTG in the episode description. Until next time, keep following your heart and pursuing your dreams. Your journey has just begun.